God really is so good to us, church. God is an amazing God. And I love God with all of my heart here tonight. I love Him so much. He means so much to me. I can't tell everything that He's done for me or everywhere He's brought me from. I know everything He's kept me from. Growing in the church, it's been a true blessing to me. And I am so thankful for it here tonight. As you're turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, not entirely sure how it's going to go tonight. As y'all know, I'm pretty energetic and pretty fiery, and I don't feel like that. I feel like there's going to be a deep move of God in tonight's service if we respond accordingly. I really feel it, that God wants to do something here tonight. As I was preparing, I had my mindset on one thought. And I came in here and I was praying and I was weeping and crying. And I felt like I couldn't find the direction. I knew it was going to be this one thought, or I felt like it was going to be this one thought. And I prayed and I went to the office and I studied. And it just wasn't clicking. I came out and prayed again and started weeping and crying. I felt like I got something on that next turnaround. In Jesus' name. In Genesis chapter number 3, in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen, amen. By God's help, I just, Pastor, dedicated this year to R&R, Relationship and Revival. I want to try to tap in with the same exact vein, with the same vision that the pastor has. And I'm just going to, so simple tonight, and I'm just going to preach to y'all for a little bit of time. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Can we close our eyes and love God tonight? Let's ask Him to move here in this place tonight. God of heaven, we need you here tonight. Jesus, let your anointing fall here tonight, I'm praying. All in the Jesus name, in Jesus name, in Jesus name we pray, God, to touch each person. God, I'm praying. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. The definition of relationship, according to Google, number one is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. A second definition I found was a strong feeling of affection and concern toward another person, as that arising from kinship or close friendship. Many of us here today have, all of us here today have relationships. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you're in a relationship with, like a spouse or a girlfriend or just someone like that. But every single one of us in here today, I would venture to say, has a friend. We at least have one friend, at least one. And we also have best friends. Those best friends are people we can confide in. Anytime anything's going bad, we go to that best friend and call and be like, I've had a horrible day. It's been rough. Can you please pray for me? Or you just talk with them. Your best friend might take you out to eat, buy you ice cream. They might do whatever it takes. But there's also relationships among couples, amongst marrieds. I'm newly married, so I don't have a lot of say in that. But I have watched my parents, and I do try to model my marriage after my parents and Sarah's parents. Each of them have an extremely good relationship. Over 20 plus years of marriage. It's not my job to remember the exact years. That's his. But when two people become very best friends, they have spent a lot of time together. There is hours spent in a best friend's relationship. You don't become best friends by one sighting, one day of hanging out, one game of ball, whatever it might be. You do not become best friends immediately. It comes with time, effort, both putting in. If your friend never talked to you or never called you and never did anything and you were always given, they wouldn't be your best friend. You wouldn't care that much. You would just be friends, maybe. Whenever one gets something new, whether it be for a young, like a gift or a cool car or something like that, the first person you call, your best friend. You call him right up, be like, look what I got. I got this. This is my prized possession. Whenever one gets a girlfriend, first thing he does, calls his best friend like, hey, you'll never believe what's happened with me. He's got a girlfriend. And when the day comes when he gets engaged or she gets engaged, news spreads like wildfire through their best friend. Best friend is number one that finds out. Amen. When one is in a relationship and they think on the future, they get their undivided attention. You can ask my brother and my parents. When I was dating my wife, she had every single bit of my attention 24/7, 365. Literally. There was times even Marcus laughed at me when I changed her name in my contacts, and they would all make fun of me because my voice immediately changed and they could tell who was on the other end of the phone. I could answer it and it could be my best friend Sam, and I'd be like, sup, man? Well, the minute I talked to Sarah, it would be an immediate just soft tone of voice, a loving, they could tell there was a love, there was an interest, but she had my undivided attention all the time. I would stare into her eyes. Guarantee many of you went through this who are married. You would stare so deeply into their eyes. No one around in the room even existed. They didn't even matter. They would say something and be like, yeah, that's cool. You had no idea what they even just said. That did not register. You had not even taken part of the conversation because there is someone else in your life that you are paying attention to, that you are giving your undivided attention to, that you are putting your everything into. Whenever you're in a relationship, you don't just put half of it and go into the relationship and expecting them to fall in love with you when you're not even giving anything to them. You got to put everything into it, all of your love. Show them that you love them. They don't know you love them unless you say it, unless you move forward and demonstrate it. You can't just assume. My wife would be extremely upset with me if I just assumed that she knew I loved her. That would be extremely bad. Excuse me. But when the time comes to get married, there's another level of excitement. They get to spend each and every day with their best friend. They get to start going through life every day with their best friend right by their side each and every single day. You might wake up with a problem and all you have to do is look over and your best friend's right there. You could be struggling, whether it be spiritually, financially, but everything's going to be okay because you're going through it with your best friend. Because you know, when times are tough, your best friend's right there with you. And they're going to walk with you through it. Why? Because you have spent time, you have spent effort, and you have built your relationship with your best friend. And you can confide in them with every single thing. Hours and hours of conversation, hours and hours of doing stuff together. Never miss a day. It's an ideal relationship. The marriage is a give-give relationship, as my dad would say, between two, and they continuously grow. It's not 50-50. I heard him say this many times. It's 100%, 100%. I give 100%, she gives 100%. Y'all already know this, but I'm just going over some things about a relationship. The wife being submitted to the husband the Bible way, and the husband loving his wife as Christ loving the church. In other words, I leaned back and I thought about that. I was actually right before I got married. I thought about that. I was like, I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. But how does Christ love the church? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself and I'm almost to this spot. But keep that part in mind. The other should never have to ask the other to tell them that they love them. It is automatic. The other desires to always please the other individual. If one person's mad, the other one's like, oh, what did I do? How did this happen? How can I fix it? How can I make you happy again? Why are you mad? Is there anything that I did? What's the problem? There's concern between a couple, even within best friends. If your best friend, for some reason, gets mad at you and you don't know why, you want to find out because you want to make it right because they're your best friend. They mean that much to you. Now let's get to the part I was going. In the Bible, from the very beginning, all God desired with humanity was a relationship. It's what he desired from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, as we saw. We didn't see this exactly in our text because I skipped forward and I have some verses in here, but he desired a relationship. God longed for a personal relationship with each Adam and Eve, just as he still to this day does with each and every single one with us. Whether we think it or not, he desires a personal relationship. I'm going to jump a little bit ahead again and say, God does not want just to fill you with the Holy Ghost and you go on your happy good doer day and be happy with, I have the Holy Ghost, God saved me, me and him are cool. That's not how a relationship works, as we talked. He communed with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the evening, having a relationship with them. God consistently walked with them in the cool of the day, talking with them, communicating with them, building, kindling that relationship that was between Adam, Eve, and God. That was his desire. In John chapter 3, all of us know this verse, in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved, this is where I was getting to previously. He loved each and every single one of us individually, personally, himself, that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his life. Remember how I was talking about we have to love our wives, how Christ loved the church? He gave his life for the church. I thought even further in that. In the beginning of the Old Testament, there is the tabernacle. And for to cover the sins of mankind then, there was the shedding of the lamb, the shedding of blood for each and every single person. But I got to thinking, and I even texted my dad about it, and I was like, I really got to thinking, where was the relationship in that effort? They just came in and be like, hey, here's my sin offering. Can offer it a sacrifice for me, cover my sins. There was no relationship with them. One thing that even came to mind, I didn't even put this in my notes too, but in the book of Exodus, I believe it is, where Moses is talking, might be Genesis, where Moses and all the people around, and all of a sudden God comes and talks to him. They trembled and they said, please, don't do that again. It frightened them. The voice of God frightened them, already showing that there was a miscommunication, a mishaps in the relationship between the people of God. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit because I feel like we need to get somewhere. I know this is super different, but I would rather this to sink in than to go 5,000 miles an hour and y'all not understand anything of what I said. But let's go to Revelation chapter 2. This is where I want to go tonight. I'm not a long-winded preacher. It doesn't take a lot for everything to be new for me. But I really believe this is where I want to get serious and really understand. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. None to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. For my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, this is a key verse here. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ephesus had everything right, down to the dress code, down to what the works they were doing for God, down to everything. They had it down pat. They hated evil. They despised those who did acts of evil. They labored in God's name. They were there when the pastor asked them, hey, we got this event coming up. We need you to help. They were there. They were there. They had patience. Not sure what for, but props to them. Patience is difficult. But they all had patience. And God said, props to you. You need these things. But I have one thing against you. You left your first love. You've done everything right, but you've forgotten about me. You don't remember me anymore. Where am I in everything? You're doing it for me. You have the right mindset, but do you even know you're doing it for me? Does it really mean, do I still mean something to you? Do you even love me? Like we said in the beginning, it is bad when someone has to ask, do you love me? You left your true love. You have patience and hate evil and can't bear them who commit evil. Oh God, let's make this personally because it's relationship and revival. All God wants to give us and put us, while we are still here, is he wants to give us revival. He wants souls, Augusta. He wants revival here in Augusta, Kansas. He wants this church to grow. He wants us to prosper and have genuine relationships. It's God's desire to see every single one of these pews before we even get a new building to grow and prosper right here in this church. We've heard it preached time and time again how it is promised here. We've heard Pastor preach it time and time again how he feels we are right there. It could just take one thing, one family, one person to come here. And this church can explode. And these walls will have to have a new building sooner than later. And that is God's desire. But I feel there's one thing we lack before we can reach there. We need a true relationship with God. As preached this morning, when someone walks in, they give us one shot. If they don't feel that, what is the point in even coming back to this place? If we don't have a true relationship with God here with us first, what are we really showing the sinners who are coming in here? They'd be like, they don't even love their God. Why would I even want to go back? They say they're saved and yeah, that's all good and happy go, but they're not demonstrating it. They just say, as Brother Worst put it so awesomely the other night, I can just go to that church and they're pew warmers. That is not a true relationship with God. Let me read some things that I wrote down. Our God longs for communion with him. He longs for a love relationship between all of us. He asks just for you just to give him a little bit of attention each day. But yet we're too busy. We got work. We're tired. We have kids. Why do we even know to need to go to church? We kind of live far away. We can't make time to go to the church and pray. You can't find time to make time to the church to pray and talk to God. God is just looking down from heaven going, can you just give me 20 minutes? Please, just 20 minutes out of your day. You work for 8 hours. You eat. You have an hour lunch. But can you give me just 20? We heard it. I felt like Pastor was getting all over what I was going to preach tonight. But can you just give me 20 minutes? 20 minutes. Could you possibly just tell me that you love, when was the last time, child of God, that you told God that you even love him? But you didn't just throw it around. That God, yeah, God, like Peter did, God, you know I love you. He's like, feed my sheep. God, do you love me? God, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He's like, God, and he finally stopped what he was doing. God was trying to get his attention. NLT, do you love God? Do you really love God with all of your heart? God's up in the heavens asking, I have given you blessings. I've given you new jobs. I've given you healings. I've given you a good family. Can you at least spend 5 minutes with me? Do you even love me, Augusta? Do you love me? Is it too much to ask of you just to spend some time with me in the altar? And we've been to love me and let me love you. Or does Pastor have to ask you every time just to go to the altars and to pray and to love God? But do you really have it in your heart that no matter what anyone else does, no matter what Pastor says, I'm going to build my relationship with God tonight. I'm going to love my God tonight and curl in his arms and let him love me. But I'm going to return the love to him as well. God's up in the heavens just going, I desire to talk to y'all. I desire to give y'all revival. I desire to give you, I've promised you a healing. I desire to give you that healing. And he's, you, all you have to do is love me. That's all you have to do. And we're just sitting here like, amen, preacher. Preach the word. That's good. And God's just saying, I just need a little bit of your time. Just a little bit of your time to love me. And I will bless you. I will heal you. I will give you your miracle and your blessing. If you truly have a relationship with God like you say you do, the pastor shouldn't ask for people to step it up in prayer and connect in the Holy Ghost. If you have a true relationship with God, how many times a week are you praying on your own and coming to the church to spend time with your true love? If you really love someone, you shouldn't even have to ask. If someone even loves you, you shouldn't have to ask them to demonstrate your love like we've mentioned. There is a lack of relationship missing between one and the other. If God is asking us to build our relationship, we are lacking something, church. There's something in our hearts we're missing. Back in our text, I'm coming to an ending. I'm coming. I told y'all it's not going to be long. Adam and Eve became callous to the voice of God in the garden. This is the thing I would pray over, and I had no idea how to connect it. But with God's help, we're going to bring this to an end right here. The relationship between them and God no longer meant much to them at all, because God's voice became callous to them. As I started thinking about this on my own. Y'all know my mind works weird. But as I started thinking, in our text in Genesis chapter 3, we see Satan is now, they say he is the more subtle beast of the field. And he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden? And in verse 2, this is where I started thinking, and I used my imagination here, if you would. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Here's where my imagination kicks in. Between verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3, I don't see Eve going, ooh, Satan? Or like, who are you talking to me? But yet it seems like reading this here that there was already a familiarity between Eve and Satan. There was already, she might not have, because it seemed, he just so easily just talked her into it. He was building it up. Somewhere or another already, she had already became familiar with the voice of Satan. And as we see here in verse 6, they so easily just took of the fruit, just took of it. God's voice no longer meant anything to Adam and Eve. No longer. There's something I want to go over. And as we can all stand real quick. I told y'all this was going to be very different and not long at all. But I want us to all do one thing. I've never done this before either. So I want us to all bow our head and close our eyes. And I want us to dissect our relationship with God each individually. Don't worry about anyone else, even if you come to the altars, even if you don't. I don't want you looking at anyone else, praying with anyone else, if that's okay with Pastor. I want you to worry about yourself. I want you to be concerned about your relationship with God. Because I really feel like we can also become like Adam and Eve. We can have Satan's voice lingering in our ear. And I wrote these things down in my notebook because I felt them so strongly. Satan could be sitting there lining your ear. You've gone and you've gotten prayed for many times, sister. You've gotten prayed for multiple times, brother. And you still aren't healed. Your miracle still hasn't taken place. Church, Satan could be also climbing in your ear saying, hey, you've been here for 10, 15, 20 years. Why have you only seen like one new person come to church? Why has nobody gotten the Holy Ghost anytime recently? Come on, it's not going to happen. Come on, it's not going to happen, y'all. It ain't going to happen. That's the voice of Satan in your ear going. But I want to ask a question. Have you gotten so used to that voice that you no longer remember what the voice of God is? Is your relation? I'm not saying anyone has a relationship with the devil. But I am saying, is that voice louder in your ear than it is with God's? Eve so callously mentioned it. Yet in verses 8 through 10, we see Adam and Eve hiding from God. they're hiding from the voice of God. Not just God himself, but from the voice. God promised you a healing in your body, child of God. It could be right around the corner that your backslidden loved one comes to church. It could be right around the corner where it's your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister. Some of you been here for years, revival's been promised, and you just not paying attention anymore. You've been here for so long, you've gone callous to the messages of revival. There might be thoughts in your heart, child of God, of giving up. Young people, it might not be so easy. You might be battling something in your mind. It's not easy being a young person, but it's easy to get a relationship with God where it becomes easier. It's easy to get a relationship with God where you begin to pray and just pray, God, I need you. God, because I want you. I want to love you.
Oh yes, Jesus.
If you are listening to the wrong voice, tonight is a night you can turn. You can change that. Tonight is a night you can build your relationship with God. Tonight is time to shut out Satan's voice and get your relationship with God back. Tonight is the night, child of God. I want to ask you, when was the last time you just weep and cried in the presence of God? When was the last time you allowed God to put his loving arms around you and you just prayed connected in the Holy Ghost? When was the last time, God, you got stammering lips just praying connected in the Holy Ghost? Oh, in Jesus' name, let's work on a relationship tonight, church.